A major source of pollution is nitrogen and ammonia from chemical fertilizers, which enter the groundwater or rivers. There has been a quite shocking increase in nitrogen transport in many rivers in the mid-1990s compared with so-called pre-disturbance levels, that is, before synthetic fertilizer came into wide use. The increase is especially remarkable in Europe, North America, and large parts of East and Southeast Asia. Human waste is another major source of pollution, with 85% to 95% of sewage in developing countries being discharged untreated into rivers and coastal waters. The consequences of the transmission of waterborne diseases are large. Industrial waste, heavy metals in particular, is a major source of river pollution. Other chemical substances, such as phosphates found in soaps and detergents, and pesticides used in agriculture, are also major pollutants with negative effects on water quality, the environment, and human health. Though the rich countries have reduced heavy metal contamination through regulation and safe disposal practices, rapidly industrializing countries such as India and China are still polluting at dangerous rates. China has recently experienced one pollution calamity after another in its major rivers. In 2005, the Songhua River in the northeast became heavily polluted with benzene after an industrial explosion. In 2006, the Yellow River ran red after a large discharge of industrial dyes near the industrial city of Lanzhou. In several cases, the polluters are local industries, but in many other cases they are major multinational companies who have fled tighter regulations at home and are skirting the law and ethical obligation in the host country. Climate change and water stress. The stresses on the world's water resources are already enormous, and man-made climate change will exacerbate these difficulties profoundly. While there are huge unknowns in the precise consequences of man-made climate change on the hydrological cycle, a few things are clear. First, warmer temperatures will intensify the cycles of evaporation and precipitation. There will be more rainfall on average, but in shorter and more intense episodes. There will be more evapotranspiration at higher temperatures, and storms will increase in intensity. Some more detailed conclusions are as follows. The drylands will tend to become even drier. The wet equatorial areas will become even wetter and more subject to floods and other extreme events. The populous regions with water supplies dependent on annual snowmelt and long-term glacial melt will lose water security with the disappearance of the glaciers and the elimination of the buffering effect of mountain snow. The frequency of droughts will rise significantly. Drier and more variable conditions combined with higher temperatures will lead to lower and more variable crop yields. Recent studies have confirmed the human influence on precipitation patterns in the 20th century: a wetter equatorial band and high latitude zone, and a drier subtropical zone. Another recent study has found that the proportion of land area suffering from very dry conditions rose from 15% in 1970 to around 30% at the start of the 21st century. One robust conclusion is that climate change will adversely affect the world's regions dependent on snowmelt and glacier melt. The lives of hundreds of millions of people, especially in South Asia and East Asia, depend on regular snowmelt from major mountain ranges in the dry spring and summer months. Much of the Indian subcontinent, 250 million people in China, and inhabitants of the Andes all depend on such water flows. Higher temperatures will lead to more rapidly melting snow, and thus to more frequent floods and faster flowing rivers. The water flow will come earlier in the spring, and there will be water shortages during the summer months. Ironically, many regions will experience massive flooding in the coming decades due to glacier melt, which will then be followed by extreme water scarcity once the glaciers have disappeared several decades from now. Water danger zones. It's useful to focus on several regions primed for water trouble in the coming years so that we can take preventative and remedial actions. These are the areas in particular that are mining the groundwater, living on temporary glacial melt, and experiencing declining precipitation as a result of long-term climate change. In many cases, declining water availability is exacerbated by rising populations, extreme poverty, ethnic divisions, and other political cleavages that make problem-solving especially complicated. Here are some of the most challenging regions. The Sahel. Rainfall has been declining sharply in much of the Sahel. down by 1/4 to 1/2 during the past 30 years compared with the first part of the 20th century. The drying seems to be related to long-term human-induced warming of the surface waters of the Indian Ocean, as well as global air pollution that is apparently affecting the location of the tropical rains. The Sahel's troubles are a combination of water stress, rapid population growth, and extreme poverty.